welcome to this awesome episode in the Knoxville First Church podcast. My name is Jason Scott. I'm the lead pastor, and I'm so thankful you have joined us today. I believe you've made a great choice, so buckle up, get ready, and let's grow together.
Hey, I'm excited to be here today. I don't know about you. Whether you are or not, it's not going to change my joy to be in the house of the Lord. I am so fired up. I love that noise. Bye, Henry. Bye, Rowan. Bye, boys. The last two out. Those are probably the ones you shouldn't have at the end of the line, right? Like, teachers at the front, they're in the back. They're about to do something together, those two guys. Man, we are so excited for you to be here with us today. I'm excited to share with you some new stuff, some stuff that you may have heard before, but really just some things about the church. The church. It's one of the things I love preaching on is the church, because the church has changed my life. Amen? Come on. The church has changed my life. Has it changed yours? It truly has changed my life. I was walking with my wife last night. And we took a different route. It was a much harder walk than we expected. And I started talking to her about the church. And Amy was raised different than me. We come from different upbringings. And so my story is not hers and her story is not mine when it comes to how she saw the church. Okay? For me, and maybe you can relate, for me, the way I saw the church growing up, the identity of the church, right? The way I saw the church was that it was a building, a location that you went to hear a man talk, to learn something, and go on with your life regular for the rest of the week. That's it. That's all that the church meant to me. Church meant building, right? Church didn't have anything to do with people. It was almost just like, you know, school meant the school building, church meant the church building. That was kind of how I envisioned it. Now let me just be honest with you. I'm not saying I was ever taught that. I guarantee you I was never in a church where the preacher even spoke that language. But that was just how I viewed the church, the identity of the church, what it was about. Here's the thing about the church. If you look up on that imagery that I have, you see a fingerprint, right? A fingerprint. And this is not new news for anybody in the room, but every one of our fingerprints are different, right? Say, yeah, you got that right. At least I get one thing right today, right? That everybody has a different fingerprint. Yours doesn't match mine, okay? Now, however, a lot of us have a lot of other things in common. Okay, we don't have matching fingerprints, but majority of us in the room have two arms, have two legs. I haven't looked at your all's feet lately, but most of you have five on each foot, you know, 10 fingers. We all have a body, amen? We all have a body, but we have different fingerprints. That's how the church is too, by the way, that every church has a lot of things that go on within the church. They all have, you know, arms and legs and feet. They all have these different things, but each one of them's identity will look a little bit different. And you don't know the identity really of a church unless you get in and get to know it. During this series, what I want you to not understand about the church, like just the right arm, the left arm, and the legs and the feet, I want you to know the fingerprint. I want you to know the DNA. I want you to know all about who we are as a church so that when you have enough information to say, that's who my church is, then you can go out and be the church. What I didn't know growing up was that the church wasn't a building with walls. Okay, it really, the church is people on mission. It's not a place that we come to. Spoiler alert, if that's what you thought it was, it's not. I'm glad you're here, amen. We're all glad that you're here because it wouldn't be as fun without you. And we want more of you, yeah? But the church is not a building. The church is a people on mission. So to understand the identity, you got to first think about the purpose, the vision, the mission, and the why, right? Like, if you can answer that question, why are we the church, then you can really understand where you're going to go. And what I believe is that discovering the identity, your identity, is key to accomplishing your God-given purpose for the church and for yourself, by the way. That's a statement that's all-inclusive, because the church is a people group, but the church is you, right? Okay, let me explain that real quick. It's not in my notes, but let me get to the point real quick. And we're going to talk a little bit about this later. But when I say the church isn't just a people group, the church is you, what I mean is Jesus said, I'm going to go to heaven and send you something that's going to live in you and give you power to go and be the church in a broken world. So we don't have to come to a place to be the church. We are the walking, living church. And listen to this. God spoke to me on the front row a bit ago. We're singing the song, oh, praise the name to the Lord our God. The last verse says, he shall return in robes of white, right? Can I tell you what we are, believers? Too many of us are waiting for Jesus to come back instead of being Jesus right now to the world that needs it. We sit, you know, fixated, the song even says, waiting for Jesus to come. And Jesus doesn't want you to get saved and wait for him to return. He wants you to be heaven on earth. He wants you to live that out now. And too many of us are sitting down like this going, I've met him. Please come back. I have no other responsibility. And that is not the church. And that's not what you're called to be. I didn't know this growing up. And I told Amy on the walk, I said, until I walked into a church that spoke my language, let's say it that way, and I was positioned to finally hear it, then I understood it. And some of you may be just hearing it for the first time today. That this isn't a place that we come and receive and go and not show the Savior that died for you. This is a place that we gather together, right? That we gather together to get filled up and go on mission. So discovering the identity is key to accomplishing your God-given purpose. And we have an identity as a church. Remember, each church is different. Each church looks a little bit different. Can I tell you this? There would be no church if there was no Jesus. Let me say that again. There would be no church if there was no Jesus. That's my language, right? Somebody else can say it much better theologically. But I want to say it like this. There would be no church if there was no Jesus. So see, the church didn't create Jesus. Jesus created the church. We don't sit here because we came up with an idea of a man that died on a cross and wrote a book to No. Jesus established this. Jesus set this on mission. If you can understand where you came from, you can get a better understanding of where you're supposed to go. The church didn't create Jesus. Jesus created the church. Let me show you. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Here's a few different verses you're going to need to look at. It says this. In my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostle he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Praise God. Praise God. Then they gathered around him and asked him. All right, this is Acts chapter 1. Here's what's happened up to this point. Kids, listen. Jesus has already died on the cross. Okay? He's already rose on the third day. This is after that. All right? Follow me? He's already died. He already rose again. He's about to show himself. Listen to this. Then they gathered around Jesus and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is for you to know, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. First and foremost, guys, if you read that part of scripture with me, what is the prerequisite before being a witness? Did anybody see it? The Holy Spirit. Did you see that? It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and after that, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The way we say that today is, you will be my witnesses in Knoxville, in Tennessee, in the United States of America, and everywhere else globally. That's what he's saying there. You start here and you move out. That's another thing that we have to understand about our identity. Our identity is that we are positioned in Knoxville, Tennessee, to minister to Knoxville, Tennessee, and to impact the lives of Knoxville, Tennessee first. That's why God put us here. 1974, this building was built here. From that wall this way. Crazy enough, that window there, it's not lit up this morning because it's not outside anymore like this one is. That used to be where the church ended. Until in 1994, the area you guys enjoyed this morning for coffee and donuts was added on. It was put here in 1974 because some people, some group, decided there's a sweet piece of land, 5 acres out on this road, and we believe God has called us out there to build a church. Some of those people are even still here. They're still alive. Praise God. Raise your hand if you were part of that from the very beginning. Show me. Raise your hand up. Look at them back there. Let's make some noise for them. Yes. Those folks, you know how some pastors say, I got people in my church that act like they built the place. No, they did. Right? They actually did. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. They uniquely positioned the church in this location. And whether they felt the Spirit or not, because I wasn't with them in that moment, whether they felt it or not, God used them on purpose to put this place here on purpose, to minister to this city on purpose. That's cool. And because of that, we have found this place. And because of that, I believe many other people will one day find this place and are continuing to find this place. But it started with a vision and a calling on somebody's life way back when. And the church was actually in existence before that, but then they found themselves here. It says in verse 9, let's get back to scripture, Acts 1:9, it says, after Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Wow. Verse 10, they were looking intently up to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Pretty much these guys say, hey, listen, stop looking up and start looking out. Okay? This is where all of this started. If you wondered why the church exists, this is where it all began. Okay? Jesus, before he ascends to heaven, says this to them. That look, the Holy Spirit's about to be given to you. And when you receive it, go into the whole world and spread my message. That's why I say there would be no church if there was no Jesus. Because Jesus commissioned the people to go into the world. And then he went to heaven. Imagine that. You'd been with Jesus for a few years, maybe some of them shorter than that. This guy had been telling you all about this stuff, and now he just disappears. And he says, now it's your job. It's your turn. Start doing it. Start doing what? What I taught you for all that time. And so then they start. Looky here. Let's jump to Acts chapter 2 now. We are in Acts chapter 1. What happens after that, Jesus ascends to heaven. They have a little meeting. They do some organizing because there was a guy, you know, named Judas that did something. He made some bad choices and decided to take his own life. All these things happen. So they had to replace a disciple and some things like that took place. Now we jump to Acts chapter 2, okay? If you're with me, say I'm with you. Okay, here we go. So Jesus said this was going to happen. It's about to happen. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, like the blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested upon each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to do so. Now, Jesus said, hey, go and wait, and then I'm going to send you something, the Holy Spirit, that's going to empower you to go and be the church. Okay? Not a building, a people group, taking my message to the world. All right? And so this happened. Right after this happened, they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to speak in other languages and tongues. They go out into the streets and they start sharing the gospel message. They start shouting from the rooftops. There was thousands and thousands of people there because there was this huge gathering that was taking place. And these people start going, who are these crazy people? What are they talking about? There were even claims that they were drunk and they were like making fun of them. And they were saying, what in the world is going on here? And so Peter stepped up and he began to preach and explain to the people what was happening. Peter makes some really good points. They really start leaning in. He starts, you know, celebrating what Jesus did and affirming the whole story of Jesus. And hey, you killed him, but he rose on the third day. You know, all of these things were happening. Okay? But I want to jump after that to verse 36, Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Peter says to them, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, who you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now let's pause there for a second. We have to understand this. The gospel message leads to repentance. Okay? So we have to come and repent our sins to a holy God. And through repentance and asking for forgiveness, he just said, then you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. It also says you need to be baptized. So oftentimes, some of us are missing the first prerequisite. The repentance and the asking of Jesus for forgiveness so that you can receive the Holy Spirit so you can go be the church. Now, the church can use and God can use all of us, saved or not. He can use a sinner and still use them for good. But really, a church that's on fire, a church that has power, is full of people that have found Jesus and are taking Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit to the world to help others find that same Jesus. Amen? But it doesn't work unless we understand that's what we're called to. That's our identity. We have to take it. We have to show it. We have to be it. He goes on to say, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all of you far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the numbers that day. This is the beginning of the church. This is where it begins. They went to an upper room. Tongues of fire fell on them. They were given the ability to speak in other languages. They go out. They share the gospel message. People come and go, tell me more about what you're talking about. He tells them more. Then they come to faith in Jesus. And it says thousands, 3,000 were added to the number that day. What a revival that took place. Wouldn't it be great for us to see that? Who wants to pray for that? Who wants to commit right now from this day forward? I'm praying for 3,000. I'm praying for God to move. Oh, Pastor, we shouldn't do that. We'll just be disappointed. Bull. Let's go in faith and start praying for it. Why not? God can do immeasurably more than I could ever imagine. That's what I read in Scripture. So quit doubting. Amen? He can do it. This is where the identity begins as a community of people called the church. Watch this, okay? So 3,000 were added, and then right off the bat in Acts, verse 42, it starts telling us what the identity of the church should look like. It says, those 3,000 people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. They devoted. Think about that word. They devoted themselves to it. What have you devoted yourself to? Because I promise you, there's nothing more powerful to devote yourself to than the teachings and to the fellowship of believers and of the Word and of Jesus. Devoting yourself to it. We find ourselves devoting ourselves to a whole lot of things that don't equal up to what we can find when we devote ourselves like this. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, here's something else. Like when I was not truly understanding the identity of the church, I always felt like church people used real weird words, right? Like fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship, you know? And then I become a part of a church and I'm sending out emails like, come and fellowship with us. Like, you know, that didn't make sense to me. And so what we need to make sure we understand as followers of Christ, people filled with the Holy Spirit who are trying to take the gospel message to the world, oftentimes we need to use words that actually speak to those we're trying to talk to. Because until I got to a certain point in my life, the word fellowship made me want to run. I'm the only one. It got quiet right there. Now, if you said, hey, you want to come hang out and have fun? Sure. Right? Let's get together, right? Like that fellowship sounded too faith-filled to me at that time. So we have to understand our identity, okay? Fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. What's the identity of the church right off the bat? Devoting themselves to teaching and to being together and breaking of bread, eating, right? And to prayer. A praying church has power. Amen. A praying people have power. That's what the first church did. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. Everybody say together. And had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. What were they doing? They were selfless. They helped others. They were generous. They cared. They gave so that they could receive. Amen? They understood. Every day they continued to meet together, so they never stopped gathering in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. Everybody say praising God. Praise God. And enjoying the favor of all people. I love doing that. I love praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, like getting people around me that I can tell, you know, have the favor of God upon them and just like hanging out, right? Fellowshipping. Like I love doing that. There's something about it. It's different than standing on the soccer field sidelines. I don't care what you say. You can't convince me otherwise. I've done both. It's different. We have to understand it's different. Somebody say it's different. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This was the identity of the first church. And let me just put it to you this way. When you know what you're about, you can be about what you're about. Let me say it again. When you know what you're about, you can be about what you're about. And that's what I want us to do as a church. Begin to know what we're about so that we can be about what you're about. I was sitting on the beach, and I know this is probably a terrible illustration, but God gave it to me earlier in the week, you know, and with you know, hurricane and all that. I was sitting on the beach once, and I was watching my children out in the ocean on rafts and stuff. And then I got to talking to my wife. This has happened multiple times. And I wasn't focused on my kids. Talk for 20, 30 minutes, I look up and they're gone. I looked down and they had floated way, 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 way down the beach. Right? And I'm like, how did they go from right here to way down there so quickly? It was because I took my eyes off them, my focus off them, my vision off them. And all of a sudden they had floated far away. If we as a church don't understand what we are about so we can be about what we're about, it'll be the same way for us. You'll come in and float out and come in and float out. And all of a sudden, you don't know what you're even about. You're just floating in and floating out. You could care less. You just want to come to church. You don't know what we're about. You don't know what you're supposed to be doing. You don't know what you're supposed to be believing. You don't know how you're supposed to partner. You don't know what because you've just floated away. We have to keep our eyes focused on the vision. We have to understand who we are as a body. And every body of Christ is a little bit different than the other. We're positioned differently. We have different gifts that we have to understand. What are we not about? Let me say what we're not about. We are not about a building. We are about the mission God has given us to as followers of Christ. Let me say that again. We're not about a building. So get the building out of your mind. This is a beautiful building. But if all we see the word church as is a building, then we have lost it. We've got to understand, guys, that we are the church on mission as individuals. Okay? We are not about a building. So what are we about? Somebody turn to Matthew 28, verse 16. This is what we're about. Let me show you what we're about. Jesus said this too. This was like before Acts. Jesus speaks to his disciples, okay? And then he comes and kind of says it again, and we've already read that part. Before he ascended to heaven, before the Spirit fell on the people and the church went out, before all of that even happened, this is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples, somebody say disciples. We need to hear that word, disciples. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. That still happens today. Get it? Listen, I understand it, right? These people were with Jesus. We don't get to be with him physically, right? We get to experience him, but they were with him, touched him, held, you know, walked with him, saw him do these things, and they still doubted. So there's going to be some doubt at times. It might happen. It might currently happen. But he knew it. So it says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What is our church going to be about? This. What Jesus told us to be about. That's why we can't be about a building. Amen? If all we are is about a building, then we can't be on mission like Jesus just told us to be. Now, he uses the word disciples, and I had you say it out loud. What is a disciple? Because that's another word for me that used to be like, what? I'm not sure if I want to do that. Like, it felt like, you know, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Disciple. A disciple is this, one who accepts and assists in spreading the message of Jesus. Another way you could say it is a follower of Jesus. And here's what's interesting. Now follow this sentence with me. Look at your Bible and read this with me. It says, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, he worshiped him. So they're disciples, okay? And Jesus came to his disciples, right? So you've got a group of disciples Jesus came to. And he says to those disciples, I have given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. Here's what I'm trying to say, guys. When you put your faith in Christ, receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and choose to follow Jesus, you are a disciple. And this is Jesus talking to you. The church is a mechanism to send you on mission. Okay? You are the disciple he's talking to. I am the mouthpiece he's chosen to help you understand and learn. You're the disciple he's talking to. And it says, you, not me. And that's another identity crisis that the church can be in sometimes. The people out here look at the people up here and go, that's your role. That's not the church. That's not the church. That's your role. Jesus said to the disciples to go make more disciples. That's what he said. So he said to you to go make more of you. See you guys. Love you. Go make disciples. Guys, this is big for us. This is big for us. Follow me. What it means is that you can't keep following Jesus the way you have been. If you're not going out and trying to make more disciples, you're not living what this is called the Great Commission. The Great Commission. We, as followers of Jesus, are commissioned to go outside these walls and to not just come to a building and receive, but to go outside these walls and make other disciples. And that's where it has to change for you. That's where it has to change for us. We have to make sure that we're living that out. So based off of Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 18, this, you want to know what we're going to be about? It's not new. We're just going to know it and live it out, okay? Watch this. This is what we're going to be about right here. Our vision is to reach, teach, and connect people to Jesus and each other. It is not to come here to a building, sit and be still. We are as a body of Christ. And again, it's not you all looking at me saying, go do this well, Pastor. It's us doing it together, going out and working together to reach others. With every means possible. Social media, outreach events, anything God gives us, collaborating together, innovating together, working together to reach people with the message of Jesus. Amen? So we're going to reach people. And we're going to be all about it. And then once we reach them, we've got to make sure we're teaching them. Amen? We've got to make sure we're strategically thinking through, okay, if Sunday morning's not enough, what do we need to add to our discipleship process to help people become better, you know, understanding, spirit-filled followers of Christ who go and make others? And I'm not ready to share with you that yet, but we've got it all planned out, how we're going to answer that question. That's something God has been asking me. If somebody came up to you, Pastor Jason, and said, how are you creating disciples? What would your answer be other than Sunday morning preaching? And we got to answer that question. We've got to answer that question. We're going to reach, always intentionally teach, and connect people to Jesus first and foremost. The church would not exist without Jesus. Amen? And Jesus is who we're to connect people to first. And each other. That's big for me. Because I wouldn't have found Jesus if a church wouldn't have intentionally connected me to others who had already found Jesus. Amen? That's how he works. He works through you and I. That's our role. We have to reach, teach, and connect people to Jesus and each other. Just look up here at the word reach, okay? I want to read something to you that I've written down just intentionally for the word reach. Our hope, listen, and this isn't, okay, before I do this, I want you to get this. When I say our, I don't mean our staff or our council. I mean our body of believers, everybody in the room, okay? Begins to own this and live out this is your fingerprint, your identity if you belong and you're established and you're a part of this church, okay? Our hope is to be a vibrant group of people who are eager to reach new people with the message of Jesus. Not stale, sad, boring people, but I use the word vibrant. Like, yeah, I found Jesus. I smiled and sang, oh, praise the name, at the beginning. I love what I found, and I want others to find him too. So I'm going to get out of here and go get somebody and tell him about him. Right? So number one, reach. Our hope is to be a vibrant group of people who are eager to reach new people with the message of Jesus. Teach. The word teach. To be students of the word, ready to learn and grow. So we want to be vibrant and excited to reach new while also being students of the word and excited and ready to grow. Amen? To be an excited body who is passionate about connecting Jesus and following his ways. Like, we should love coming and connecting to Jesus, or going and connecting to Jesus in our own time. Amen? And growing in him. Like, excited to do that. Excited body who is passionate about connecting to Jesus and following his ways. You know what I mean? Like pumped up about following his ways. And then, always desiring a connection with others who want to do life together. That's the each other part. A group that's always desiring to connect to others who want to do life together. That's who we are. A body that's excited to reach. And I want to reach more. Listen, the reason we're doing this message today is because I told you guys about 2 months ago. God started having me ask the question, what have you learned over the past 5 years that you're to build up on for the next five? And it can't just be for me. It's got to be for us as a body, that we become really, really sold out to the Great Commission. And that's all this vision is. Living out the Great Commission that is for the disciple, the follower of Christ. But why? Right? Why is this important? Why am I so excited about it today? Like, why are we doing a series about it? Why are we doing all of this? Why is our vision to reach, teach, and connect people to Jesus and each other? It's because of one of our core statements that we have here. Here's what's really cool. Y'all don't get this yet, but this is a 6-page document of the vision and mission, vision and everything that God is going to send our church on. I'm going to make it look a whole lot prettier before you get it in your hands, because to me it just looks like a lot of words right now. I want it to be something that you grab a hold of and you go, this is our church. Okay? But I have 5 core statements. And the answer to this one right here, why would we want to reach, teach, and connect people to Jesus and each other? Why would we want to do that? Because of our number one core statement that we make as a church, that we believe life is better when God is what? Say it with me. Life is better when God is. That's why we want to do this. That's why we want to live out our vision. That's why we want to live out the Great Commission. That's why we want to reach, teach, and connect people to Jesus and each other. Because we know that when they find him, their life will be better. Amen? Raise your hand if you've experienced that already. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. What this is telling us is that if you raised your hand, it can't stop with you. You've got to go find somebody else and share it with them. You have to. We don't get to opt out. We don't get to decide our own way that we want to follow Jesus. This is a part of what it means to follow Jesus. We do all of this because we believe life is better when God is first. I want you to come back next week to learn what it would look like if you began to put God first. Next week's going to be all about that core statement. Life is better when God is first. What happens when you do, and how do you do it? How do you do it?
Thank you for joining us here at the Knoxville First Church Podcast. We loved having you, and we hope you will come back next week for another great teaching. I would love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 6708 Westland Drive in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you would like to contribute and give to this ministry, go to www.knoxfirstchurch.com/give. See you next week.